Welcome to the Ant on Podcast, where Ant is on anything and everything. Episode 16, Ant on Frozen. Hello, Anthony here. I just want to explain a couple things. This episode is all about the movie Frozen and includes spoilers galore. This is your warning, and you'll get a couple more warnings going into the actual podcast. This was originally recorded for Anton episode 15 to be on the tail end after the credits, after we talk non-spoilers, and then me and my buddy Tyler were then going to talk spoilers about Frozen. Well, we ended up talking a lot longer than we anticipated, so we made it in its own episode. Not only did we talk about Frozen, but we kind of lead into other geekery things as well, but the main conversation is about Frozen and the fact that there are spoilers. So this is your warning. Also, a little heads up, I'm having a battery problem with my computer. I am holding my laptop up at a certain angle right now because it's acting weird, and with me holding it like this, it for some reason works normally, and this is very uncomfortable, so I'm trying to get this episode out, and I just want to explain that perhaps this might be delayed for future episodes until I get this battery situation figured out or buy a new laptop. I guess we'll see what happens. I've had this one for quite some time, so we'll see what happens there. But anyways, that's a little warning for the Anton Podcast. You can still catch me on the AB Conversation Podcast because that's recorded on Brent's computer. So yeah, once again, Frozen spoilers in this episode and more Anton Podcast sometime in the future. Thank you. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. Let's have it. So I absolutely loved it. You absolutely loved it. What do you want to dive into on some spoiler Frozen?
Golly, I'm like scared of who's in the house. So, like, my sister's here.
Oh, geez,
she's downstairs. Hear me? I'm like, oh, crap. Better step up. I get under the... Can't hear me. I loved... Spoiler. It's so hard to even say it.
Yeah.
It's so hard to even say spoilers. I loved the fact that they really convinced you that she was in love with that other character. Like,
yes.
There was a love, there was a song. Like, they did a whole song together about their mental synchronization. And, like, they did this song together about how in love they were. And if you listen back to that song, you can hear his motivation. Like, he starts singing about a place to belong and all these things. Like, he's singing about taking over her kingdom. Or
yeah, his betrayal. And
her. Like, he's just singing about the fact that he's using her to have a place to live. But she's singing it as a place to belong and to him being the place that they're in, you know, in a loving community or whatever, you know. And, like, they're seeing it completely differently. I don't know that it's completely differently because I didn't get the sense that he was planning on betraying her. I think he was just going to just be the king and treat her like crap or whatever, you know, like just be the king.
And I go into things completely like I don't. When I see a preview of something, I never think like, ooh, I wonder, you know, like you had talked about trying to, you know, reading the last page of the book or something. Or I am so like. In the now, when it comes, someone will ask me about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and be like, oh, what do you think this is going to be? I'm like, I have no clue. I'm like, I don't even think about it. I just enjoy it as it happens. So with Frozen, every moment that happened right up until the idea of, like, the true love and the fact that the sisters, you know, the sisters what unfroze her, like, I...
Back of love.
Yeah, like that was I was experiencing it when the audience is supposed to without predicting it. Same thing with his betrayal too. So when he's leaning in for the kiss, you know, a Disney movie, you're either expecting nothing's going to happen and then you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's the other guy, but I did not see that betrayal coming. So
no, me neither. And it was funny cuz there was a group of teenage girls that were kind of being annoying behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's just like, oh, I wish you had somebody that loved you, one of the girls is all, I was just like, oh my gosh. And I had suspected, but because everything wrapped up so quickly, like, she loves this guy, and, like, they're getting married. Like, within the space of a song, within the span of a night, they're going to get married. And I'm like, well, I guess that's just how these, you know, these movies movies go, you know, but, well, it feels like there's a little bit of a love triangle happening here. Well, maybe, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe he's going to die. Like, I don't know. Like, I was convinced that they were going to end up together because they ticked off all the checks that a normal Disney movie would. Like, essentially, like Pocahontas. Like, he meets Pocahontas in Pocahontas, and then you're like, oh, well, they love each other now because that's how these movies work.
Yep.
You know, and so they're just like, we're going to tell you everything that you've been told about a Disney relationship that's gonna lead you to believe that this is going to work out.
Yeah. And
then they just kill you. And I thought for a time that the snowman, I can't remember the snowman's name, I thought the snowman was going to be, that was going to be his act of love, was melting.
Okay, yep. I was on board for that too, yep.
That was... And he was so good.
Olaf is his name. Okay.
He was...
I think we're having a little bit of lag here. The one thing I was going to mention that the only problem I had in the movie was the fact that Jonathan Groff barely got to sing, so...
mm-hmm.
But that was the one... That was interesting because, like, you know, I don't think... He doesn't have that many, like, mainstream movies. This is probably his biggest movie he's done. And the fact that he's not even brought on to be, like, the lead singer was... I mean, I thought that was just awesome, too, the fact that, you know, you would expect him to sing all the songs, yet he wasn't even there for the singing aspect of the movie.
Oh, Jonathan Groff. Okay, he was the
villain was,
character on Glee.
Yeah, yeah, he was Jesse St. James.
Okay,
and
I didn't know who he was, but yeah.
I guess if you
get... the deluxe edition, they did like an extended version of that reindeer song that he sings.
Because him and Lea Michele are best friends in real life. He's gay in real life, but he played, you know, a straight guy on Glee. And that's why I think their scenes were so great, because they've been best friends and they were starred in Spring Awakening together on Broadway. And they're actually, I think there's a Spring Awakening anniversary reunion show of some sort that must be happening in New York, I think. I have the soundtrack for that and everything, but so I get so pumped up whenever I see Jonathan Groff in anything, and especially being attached, because now I can technically go out and buy a Jonathan Groff action figure doll if I really wanted to. So,
nice, if you look into it that way. You almost have a Veronica Mars doll, too.
Yeah.
You can put, like, a little studded... messenger bag on it.
Yep. As you talk about that, I have... This is, like, the only thing related to Veronica Mars as far as an action figure, the bust statue.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it probably looks good through the screen and everything. When you look at it up close and personal, it doesn't really resemble her too much, but that was the one thing, looking at the dolls, because I'm like, oh, I can get an Idina Menzel doll, I can get the Kristen Bell doll, you know, that's usually how I, you know, look at things. For instance, you mentioned Wreck-It Ralph, here's my Sarah Silverman Vanellope doll.
Silverman. Oh, she was so great.
So, it's things like that, and if we want to talk about Idina Menzel, I guess we got some witchiness there. So that's what I like about this movie too, as far as like merchandising, that I liked it so much. Like after seeing Brave, I ran out and bought all the Brave stuff I could find. Nathan Fillion for Monsters University. So,
right.
So that's what Frozen had, that exact reaction that I needed, where I'm just like, I have to start merchandising and getting these things on my shelves so I can... to show my Frozen love to anybody that walks into my household. So,
have you heard Book of Mormon, the musical?
I've heard of it. Brent saw a production of it. I haven't seen it. Know nothing other than what he talked about on the podcast.
Did he enjoy it? I guess I missed that one. Or maybe it was an older one. Did he enjoy it? Yeah.
He very much did, yes.
The guy who originally played Arnold Cunningham, which is the second, like one of the two main characters in it. He played the voice of what did we say, Olaf?
Okay. Josh Gad. Josh Gad.
So, is that his name? Okay, yeah. And like as soon as he started talking, I was just like, yes,
see,
he's so great. Yeah.
Yeah.
The song about the the melting snowman was just ridiculous. Like, so good. That line where he says something about winter being a nice time to cuddle, but put me out in summer and I'll be a
happy snowman.
He, like, looks in a puddle and he's like, happy snowman!
There was a lady in the theater that just yelled out puddle, and then at the exact moment when there's no sound coming from the movie, she yells out puddle, and then he's like, happy snowman.
It was just like, the joke's on you, lady. Like, it was so good. And like every single joke he makes about, it's so obvious that he's just, it's so funny. Should we tell him? Don't you dare. It's so funny. Golly. It was so good. I loved the fact that it was, in the end, it was about how much she loved her sister.
Yeah.
It wasn't about this love that she has for this other guy, which is fine. Love, I'm a guy that loves, I love my sister, I love my wife, I love my kids, you know, but why not make a movie about love between siblings, and why not make that movie with girls? Like, I just think it was just so daring and beautiful and just so good.
Yeah,
so
to have that good. To have that as the reveal was, like I said, without trying to think ahead of anything. So when it's telling me on the screen what I'm, you know, what most audiences would be figuring out either minutes or seconds before I do, I'm always the last one to find out what's going on in something, because that's just how I just wrap my mind around these stories. So when that happened, you know, that just blew my mind and made me even warm inside, and I started to melt, much like Olaf at the end too. I needed my own little cloud to keep me frozen, basically.
Yeah, it was, golly, it was so good. I enjoyed the just as soon as I started listening to the songs, I like the first line, "Do you want to build a snowman?" I just, like, the first time I listened to it, just cried.
Yeah.
I'm just all like, just right away, like, I was just like, oh, you can just feel the heartbreak.
Oh, yeah.
Her as a kid, just growing up without her sister, and just being like, I don't understand what I did wrong. I don't understand why you don't want to build a snowman with me anymore. Like, I'm just getting goosebumps talking about it. It's so freaking good.
Just that transition when they're both up against their bedroom doors on the opposite, you know, lock side of the door, and then they just pan over to Elsa, and just seeing how, you know, she's in her frozen room and she's so heartbroken that she has to be mean and is breaking off the friendship with her sister. So that was just, I always, it's interesting going to these movies. I've gone to lots of these kind of movies where it's just me. There's certain ones I'll take, like my nieces and stuff, but with me not having kids, it was me in the theater with a bunch of moms and their daughters, and I always get that impression, even though you know, I'm just that guy that's sitting up front, you know, watching this, and I easily laughed the loudest out of everybody. But you know, kind of like what you said, you know, that doesn't hold me back from going to these things where people say, like, oh, did you go with it? Like, I can't believe you didn't go with anyone. And be like, well, I'm like, why wouldn't I? I'm like, I want to see this movie, so I'm going to go see it, whether or not there's somebody sitting silently next to me. And so when it comes to movies like Frozen and Brave, and I'm always that outcast person that I usually end up getting a lot of praise for it later when I'm talking about it, where when they find out that, you know, I didn't go with anyone, be like, well, I wanted to see it, so of course I went. And obviously,
yeah, I mean, it takes a while to get people together or whatever that are going to be excited about it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm just going to go see it. I'm going to go see it. You know?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it is good.
And it's obviously different for you with having the three daughters that you'd, kind of like when you were talking about wanting to see Thor, that you wouldn't be able to get away with seeing Thor and telling the family that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously,
yeah.
And I
had opportunities. Like, I was hanging out with some friends and stuff, and it's significantly cheaper for one dude to go see a movie than it is for, you know, so it's like, Thor came out. Well, Payday's not this Friday, but next Friday, Tyler. Like, that's how you have to live your life. Like,
yep.
You have lots of other people, you know, you're just like, and, like, yeah, like I said, they would have been pissed if I went and saw it without them. But, you know, and we've done that a few times, like, when Avengers came out, oh, dude, we were so stoked. And we saw it three times. Yeah. pales in comparison to your 49 or whatever.
Yes, I remember a long, long time ago when I reached 3 viewings, and that was I did 4 viewings the first day it came out. But obviously, once again, I don't have 3 kids and a wife to pay bills for, so obviously, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like I went by myself, my wife went by herself, and then we took the kids. So it was like, it was something we had to see. So it was like, I'll stay home with the kids, you go see it. Okay, you're back, okay, I'll go see it. Like, it was literally like that, so. But, yeah, so now we're going to have to figure out how to work out this, going to see Frozen with the kids. I don't know how that's all going to work, but good. Golly, it was a good time. I liked that everything. You weren't sure if she was going to come back at the end. I kind of knew she was, because that was the act of love.
Yeah.
But, she. What do you think is a metaphor for the, or if there was a metaphor, for her power and her ability to not be able to control the power? Do you think it was emotion and that she was being, her emotions were being held back, or like, what do you think? Or if there was anything, or if what you drew out of it, because everybody draws something differently, but
yeah.
Do you think that there was anything there, or?
Yeah, that might be something that I'd have to sleep on, you know, it's still being fresh off of just loving the music and everything, but that's a interesting way to look at things, and obviously with you talking about the things we talked about in the episode, you are very descriptive, which is awesome. Same thing with Brent, too, getting very descriptive on explaining things when I'm very vague when it comes to, oh, I love it just because, you know, I love these people, and I love the song, and it just makes me happy, but I've never, now this is going to get me to think about it, because I normally don't dive analyze, and it kind of, and I think that's what helps me enjoy it in the moment, too, because I'm not always analyzing so many things, which is obviously awesome, because you gave a lot of big words and stuff that, very detailed description of for listeners to really attach themselves to something when I'm always just like, I loved it, and then
no, but that's good. I mean, I find myself getting too carried, like when I saw Pacific Rim, like I'm just like, well, that doesn't make sense because that was cheesy, and it's like, but I showed it to my kids and they just loved it. They just loved it. It was monsters and it was robots, and sometimes that's all you need, you know. But you know, I think what I took from Frozen was that I felt like it was her ability to express herself, and I feel like her parents, you know, unknowingly took that away from her. And whether she wanted to express herself or not, just staying in that room, if you notice, it got icier and icier and icier. Her room just eventually was just a complete icebox, and she didn't know how to stop it. And you can't stop yourself from feeling something. You can't stop yourself from reacting to something emotionally and internally, and if that turns into physically manifests itself into you freezing things, then you're not going to be able to stop it. She freezes things when she's happy, she freezes things when she's sad, but it all just comes out. But there was no control over her because there was no love to counterbalance the, you know, so I don't know.
And when she's in her new ice castle, when she goes off into the woods, into the mountains, she says something along the lines of, you know, telling everyone to go away because when she's here by herself, she gets to be herself. So when she has to hold back her frozen abilities and can't let her sister know about it and all the stuff that happened in the beginning of the movie there. So when she's basically with her having those powers and her putting herself into her own room, she felt the most comfortable because she didn't have to worry about, you know, hurting anybody. And, you know, and obviously the second that she showed her powers, every single person except for her sister was against her, basically.
Yeah.
And so her going off and, being able to unleash her powers was just, that was comfortable for her because that's who she was, and she didn't have to hide it anymore. And that's kind of the same way I feel just about the things that I love, where going back to Buffy, you know, once again, I wasn't embarrassed to talk about it, but I liked it that it was my own thing, and anybody else's opinion of it didn't have to matter because I just kept it to myself. But once 6 years into the show, when I started telling people about it and showing them the DVDs and getting more people into it, it felt good that I got to be myself in public because finding other people that liked it too. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it feels like it can be a hard thing to do because you're like, oh, how are these people going to react to whatever? But you just kind of have to go, well, what am I not going to experience because I'm not true to myself? And that's the same thing I came to. Like, I started getting into some of this stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of geeky, Tyler. Do you really want to, like, do you want to go down this route? But the more I found out, the more I was like, no, but I really like this Serenity spaceship thing. Like, I really like the way they wrote this. I really like that this is this way. I don't know what you guys are calling it, but I'm calling it awesome.
Yeah.
You want to call it geeky or whatever, like, I guess that's what I am. And I didn't take it on like, oh, I'm going to be a geek. I'm going to be one of those geek guys. Just everything started being awesome.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like, what's this Dr. Warble crap? And I'm like, whoa, that's actually really freaking good. Now, what's this, you know, eventually, what's this Buffy crap? It's 4 episodes in, I'm like, what? Like, this is the greatest thing I've ever... But and some of that has to do with the fans. You see fans of something, and they react a certain way, and you're like, I don't want to be like them. I'm not a Spike fangirl. Like, I could talk to you for, like, 20 minutes about how much I hate Spike, and why, and, you know, so I'm not that. And that's when I see that, I'm like, well, that's just like Edward, that's just like Jacob or whatever. And it might be that for them, but for me, it's this great, empowering woman. It's Xander being a different man than you've ever seen on any TV show. It's Willow being hilarious and cute, and Giles being stuck up and incredibly smart and badass. And he's not just like the adult who's always wrong. Like, he's right. And usually when Buffy doesn't do what he tells her to do, then she ends up in trouble. So this is supposed to be about Frozen.
Well, see, I was just going to mention that because that's one of the best things about being a geek about these things, because we're here to talk about spoilers on Frozen, and yet we are spinning off into sub-Reddits, if you will, of other discussions and fandoms. And that happens to me all the time, where my friend Johanna asked me, we're hanging out at my house, sitting exactly where I am now, and she asked me a question about, I want to say, she's like, oh, well, what about the Fantastic Four? Like, where do they start? I'm like, okay, before I talk about them, let me talk about this. And it might have been about the Avengers. I'm like, well, before I do that, let me bring you back to the 1930s and start talking about Stan Lee and all of this. And it was 2 hours later, I finally answered her question.
Yeah.
And I had books that are right next to me now. I'm opening up comic books and pointing out panels, and just like, it was literally a two-hour conversation to answer that one question, and I just pointed that out. I'm like, oh, sorry, I hope I didn't. And she's like, oh, no. She's like, I was loving all of it. So it's funny how we went from Frozen, and now we're talking about Xander and Spike. So. But anyways, Frozen.
Yeah, it was just great. I loved the way they treated women. There's that's what it's called. I think it's the Bechner test. Have you ever heard of the Bechner test? The Bechner test is something that you use when you watch a movie and you decide it's I don't really know what it's used for, but it's a test that people will run a movie through, whether it's, you know, treats women fairly or whatever. And you have to watch a movie, and there's three questions. The first question is there more than one woman in the movie? The second question is, do those women talk to each other? And the third question is, when they talk to each other, do they talk about anything but another man? And when you really think about it, there's not that many movies like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of one, you know, there'll be like six characters in a movie, one girl, and there's no other girls for her to talk to. And so 51% of the population is not being represented in the medium of art.
Yeah.
The medium of film. And that's such a giant industry. There's whole magazines and billions of dollars being made. 51% of the Earth's, you know, population is not being represented by the medium of film. And it's the thing that I loved about Frozen was that there were two main characters, or four main characters, or whatever. Two, but the two main characters that you follow throughout the entire story are girls. It's an animated Disney movie about two girls and their love for each other.
Yeah.
Not lesbian love, which is, we'll get to that, but we'll eventually get to that. But, you know, this sisterly love, and that's what breaks the spell. There's always something that breaks the spell in these Disney movies, mm-hmm. and that's what it was. It wasn't, it wasn't her and the guy. It was, which is, well, like I said, it's all fine, but it was so great that it was them, and that that was what was being represented, and that they held the movie, and they carried the movie, and their songs together were what built the tension of the movie and showed you that it was worth it.
And that's what was great, too, because you thought it was, thought it was the first guy, and then, you know, we had the snowman thing, like you had mentioned, so then we're just like, oh, well, it's going to be the snowman. And then we're like, oh, of course it's going to be the second guy once the snowman figures out that it's the second guy. So we're led to believe that. So that's what's great, too, like just exactly what you said. Then all of a sudden it just ends up being the sister, because we had that kind of like catching them at the airport type scene at the very end when everyone's on the ice and you're like, oh, they see each other. It's going to happen. They're going to kiss. And then, you know, that didn't happen, so that's what it was awesome. So,
yeah, and it was refreshing, just like Brave. Like, there was no, the first time I saw Brave, I was like, what the heck just happened? Like, it was too different for me.
Yeah.
And the second time I watched it, I was like, this is actually the greatest movie. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, like, it was too different for me, and I was just kind of like, well, you know, there was no, all these guys look like douchebags. Like, why would she go with any of these guys? The point is not who she goes with. The point is her relationship with her mom, which is so different from every other movie we're trained to value. We're trained to value certain stories and to be like, well, why would we make a movie about, like, that's not real. Of course it's real. We all got moms and we all have relationships with them. Whether it's, you know, if you've never met your mom, there's still a relationship there. There's something that you stirs inside you about your mom you don't know.
And they even made an entire show about how someone met the children's mother, How I Met Your Mother. So it's amazing.
Seven seasons? Or something?
Nine seasons, actually, when it's done. So it's amazing.
Yeah. It's all about meeting their mom. The kids actually have not met their mom. They're like, holy crap. She's on the other side of the door, and she's just like, can you hurry up the story, honey? Because my foot's falling asleep. I've been standing here for a really long time. I'm hungry.
Man, that would be brilliant if it ended like that. Talking about things, too, about at the very end, when the bad guy, the first guy, who I'm blanking on the name right now, the guy who wants to become king, we almost had the Jonathan Groff character go after him to get, basically, to punch him out and say, like, all right, you're the bad guy, so I'm the good guy going to punch the bad guy. But then Kristen Bell's character's like, no, no, I got this. And when she smacks the heck out of him and he falls into the water, like, that was so awesome. And, like, that brings me back to watching this movie and thinking back on every animated movie I've ever seen, whether people are playing animals or humans. Kristen Bell, I don't know how they end up doing this, but I saw Kristen, not only was I hearing her, but all the mannerisms, the character itself, like, I could see her playing this on stage, and, like, everything, you know, it just blew my mind how, like, that type of humor is not, you know, you wouldn't see Belle from Beauty and the Beast acting and saying, and, like, you know, the scene about her, like, stuffing her face with chocolate, you know, and then, like, all of that little stuff, like, everything that she did was just mannerisms built out of Kristen Bell, which makes me want to do more research, seeing if that was, you know, was it written for her? Did she just bring that much to the voice that it just, like, that's what blew my mind. I watched Toy Story, and I hear Tom Hanks, but I don't see Tom Hanks in Woody. I don't see Tim Allen in Buzz Lightyear. I don't see those humans in those characters other than their voice. But Kristen Bell might be the first one that I can think of that just
embodied her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And if you listen to the deluxe edition of the soundtrack, they have a little bit of they talk a little bit about that. At the end, there's like a bunch of demo versions of the songs and deleted songs, which are fascinating.
Oh, I can't wait.
They're great. Yeah. I listened to the deleted songs and there was a prophecy that was supposed to be woven into it, and like just really interesting. And they mentioned something about Kirsten Bell having a pretty significant hand in the development of the character and stuff. So it lends credence to your idea. It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked that she punched him out. That was really, I mean, someone's got to punch him out. He deserved.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's like, it was just such a great fun movie. And it's so refreshing having daughters to be able to have, and you have nieces, to be able to take them to a movie and be like, look, a girl, like, not kicking ass, because I don't need to see, like, Instinct or something, like, yeah, for a girl to beat somebody up, but to be smart and to be real and to be just great on a movie, on a mainstream movie. Same thing with Thor, too. I mean, she helped, like, win the day. Jane Foster did. Like, she had that little gizmo thing, and she, like, helped the portals all do whatever they did, and like helped save the day.
Yeah.
Like, didn't just stand alone and be like, you know, or maybe throw something, but like, she was like, Thor needs my help, so I've got to do this. He can't do it on his own. And so good.
And the same thing with Avengers, with Black Widow physically being the one to save the day. Like, coming from female characters, you know, Buffy was the first one. That, you know, Princess Leia was pretty tough in her day, obviously, and she wasn't a normal princess either. You know, doing what she does. I don't even want to spoil it, but just in Return of the Jedi when she's doing that, you know, a movie from 1983. But you know, that's something that a normal princess wouldn't do. And now she's technically a Disney princess as well. But so many female heroes that led me to, I'm writing a comic book right now, that when I got the idea from watching my niece play girls basketball, and when I wrote the comic, you know, it's about an all-girl basketball team. I wrote it, and when I wrote for 100 pictures, I don't know how many pages long, but I wrote dialogue for 100 drawn pictures, and I didn't realize till afterwards that there is one male, or there's two male characters in the whole book, the principal and a referee. And I didn't strive to be like, all right, this is going to be an all-female book. There was a movie that, where like, I can't think of what it is, but there was not a single male in the movie, even in the crowd. Do you remember hearing about that?
No.
It came out maybe like 2 years ago, where it's just like a woman-centric cast, and apparently they went to the extremes of making sure there wasn't even like a male like walking by on the street or something. And obviously they had went out with the goal of doing that, just being like, you know what, we don't need to
make a statement. Yeah.
And when I wrote my story, it wasn't until afterwards realizing that I don't have any male characters in the story. And I was naturally going to make the character, have a relationship in the second installment of the book, if I ever get the first installment done by my artist, that I started thinking that, like, immediately I'm just like, well, I guess I got to introduce that main guy character in the second story. But then it hit me where I'm just like, screw that, I don't need to. And like you had mentioned.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You had mentioned that with, you know, eventually it's going to be, you know, lesbians in the finale of the story or something. And that's, so when I wrote the story, I had not even thought about, you know, the fact that it was going to be all girls. It just ended up being that way just because, you know, I love seeing the female heroes and everything. And that's what I liked about Frozen 2, because it didn't had those guy presence, the presence of them in there, but the fact that she punched him out, the fact that it was the mother, or the both of the sisters, I was thinking of Brave, but both of the sisters being the break in the spell, and that's, I just love where the progression of everything is going as far as, like, Katniss being a main draw, like a female lead. And now I'm excited with Wonder Woman being in the movies, that even though it's not her movie, but this will lead to Wonder Woman finally getting her own theatrical movie after existing forever, basically.
But totally. Yeah, it'll totally, that's totally next for Wonder
Yeah.
Woman.
The fact that the character called Rocket Raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy is going to have a bigger presence in a theatrical setting before Wonder Woman, that's something
concerning. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, people should be a little bit like, well, what if we, you know, what if we did a girl? Like, oh no, let's have a CG raccoon instead. I mean, Rocket Raccoon is
of course.
He's probably going to be amazing.
Of course.
But it's there's something to be said for what little, there's a lot to be said for what little women's roles are in films. And it's hard to see that if you're a guy, because you're like wanting to see things you relate to. But
yeah.
And in
2004, 2005, we got as close as we were going to get at that time to getting Wonder Woman on the screen because Joss Whedon wrote several drafts of a script that DC, Warner Brothers, they didn't like his original villain that he had for it. And then obviously seeing what Joss can do with superhero characters, we were so close to getting, you know, one of the first strong female characters on the screen, and now what's going to actually be 10 years later from that fact, we are finally at that point that Wonder Woman is finally going to make it to the screen.
Yeah, and where someone's actually like, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Man, I feel bad for everybody who hasn't seen Frozen who doesn't get to hear this conversation.
Exactly, but that will, I'll advertise it in a pre, I'll maybe do a new recording beginning of our conversation to just extremely tell those people to urge to go see it. They're going to want to hear this because I've decided this because we went almost a second podcast, what I thought was going to be 15 minutes maybe, of Frozen spoilers. I'm going to readdress it in the beginning of the original episode, and I think I'm just going to release this as a second episode because we talked about Buffy, talked about Brave, talked about females, talked about my comic. We talked about enough that it doesn't need to be that tag on, so I'll yeah. edit it to make it for your second episode already. But
nice, look at that. Yeah, that's probably a good idea for sure.
So with that being said, we're technically at like a 45-minute mark of our second episode. Is there any other thing you want to wrap up to bring it back to the Frozen spoiler conversation?
No, I guess I just loved it. I just think that it was a lot of it, unfortunately, like things like Cabin in the Woods, if you haven't seen it, it's really hard to talk about. So
yeah.
because it's reactionary to all of these different things you think it's going to be about.
Yeah. It's
and
not
like,
what
just
you
like
think.
Wreck-It Ralph. I can talk about the first, maybe third of Wreck-It Ralph. After that, I'm just going to say, go see it. Sorry. Like, come back to me when you've seen it because it was that good and you need to not know what's going to happen
yeah.
to be taken on that ride. That's the enjoyment that I got out of it, and I don't want to rob you of it. That's my take on most
yeah.
of these.
Cool.
So
for Frozen, I didn't have any success. I basically was looking for the dolls and stuff, but for Brave, they have certain ones, and this is perfect for the idea of like portrayal of women and everything, is that immediately after seeing Brave for the first time, went to Target, and for $15, $20, I saw their Merida dolls that looked nothing like Merida. And I'm like, well, that's not exactly. I went on Amazon and I looked, and for $10 extra, I have, which I'll run and get for you real quick.
Yeah, for sure.
For $10 extra, I got the Merida doll, and I got to put my Skype screen back so I can see where I'm positioning her. I got my Merida doll that actually has the fuller face rather than the Barbie face and has the right color hair and all that kind of stuff. And sure, I had to pay $10 extra, but I got what was portrayed on the screen. And I'm thinking I might do the same for Frozen just to make sure that's how much I loved it, that I want to make sure that when I'm spending money to buy the merchandise, that I'm getting the best one out there to put on display next to my, you know, Big Bang bobbleheads, next to my Ramona Flowers, next to my Thor and my Ted and all that stuff. The fact that Ted can exist on the same shelf as a Disney princess character, that's the stuff that I like to promote here at my house.
It's a great time to be alive, right?
Yes. They should make a country song or something about, you know, a great day to be alive or something, so... So yeah, I guess to wrap up Frozen, there's nothing else spoiler related that I need to share. You?
No, I really thought the snowman was going to go down. I loved the song and how you really were convinced that they were going to be together, and you're just like, oh, it's the love song. Like, this love song is too sappy, too perfect, too heartwarming to be fake. And like I said, when you listen to it again, you can hear what he's really after. It's not overt, and it's not like, oh, he's evil, like, but you're just like, okay, he's not committing to anything that he doesn't follow through on. He's definitely like, no, you know, I've been searching for a place my whole life, and now that I've met you, I've found a place that I can be forever. And you're like, no, that's not what she thinks, you know? Like, you're awesome. Not, they're not saying the same thing. It's a miscommunication in a song that isn't obvious until the end of the movie. That's my head exploding when he betrayed her. Oh, my gosh.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's been a good, I guess, second episode. Who knows what I'll call it number-wise. But thank you, Tyler, once again, for being on the podcast, even though it was part of the same one to begin with. But that was Frozen. We'd like to hear what you think, too, if you wanted to, after listening to our discussion, after you see the movie and all that stuff, feel free to tweet at me. My plugs for the podcast, Anton is on iTunes, antonpodcast.podomatic.com, at Anthony Latch, that's LAATSCH. We didn't say this in the last episode, but do you want to share your, any, if people wanted to
reach sure. You? Yeah, tweet me on Twitter at TJRants, T-J-R-A-N-T-S, and yeah, I'd love to see what's what, see if anybody, see what people thought about it. I would, that would be great.
Cool.
Be all about that.
There we go. So to end another Anton podcast, I'll see you between the panels. Once again, thank you for listening to my podcast. I've been having a lot of fun having the Skype guest and not just doing episodes 100% about comic books. I haven't done a comic book one in a while, but I'm trying to rethink a different format and structure on how to address the books that I keep reading instead of basically just telling you, you know, the stories of, you know, half a dozen to 10 books or so every single month, or every single week rather. So I'm going to, I'm rethinking a new format for that. I have some more Skype guests for other episodes, more offbeat news and just random, you know, free for all geek talk and everything like that. And once again, my computer problem, hopefully I'll be able to bring some more episodes to you as I get a battery situation figured out or a new computer. I guess we'll find out what happens then. Otherwise, stay tuned to the AB Conversation on iTunes, in which you can hear me every Sunday. Thank you.